It's quite impressive. It's sending you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true.
My beard.
You know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, cause I am bringing my beard to you.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and joining me as always, the Movember to my December beard, it's...
JD.
Fuck, that's a bit of a tongue twister when you say it like that. I've got
to Movember to my December beard.
Yeah.
Say, look, Junior.
Fuck, man, what's been going on, eh?
A lot. A lot at all.
Oh, well, fucking don't you lead an interesting life.
I know, my life's so fucking interesting.
Hey, I'll tell you what,
exhilarating it is.
Worse. Isn't that fucking whiskey emoji campaign fucking really kicking into gear?
Isn't it? Those that follow us on Twitter have, probably seen the Ballantines have been messages.
Yes, they're putting together one final push video before I think they're about to ready to put it to bed. And I tell you what, there's been so many times when I really have needed a whiskey emoji.
So tell me, who are they pushing it to? Like, who's in charge of emojis, really?
I don't know. Everybody, I suppose. If there's enough fucking public, Apple will go, oh, okay, we'll have a whiskey emoji.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. So on that note, it's time for a booze review.
Booze review.
So we're going to leave your monstrosity for fucking last, and we'll get straight into the Ballantine's 12-year-old, which is what I've got this week. Now, I'm not going to go back into all the history of Ballantine's. It has been around for an awfully long fucking time, so there is a very long storied fucking history to go with it. And I do remember saying in the original Ballantine's review that the 12-year-old is where you want to get if you want to really enjoy Ballantine's at a rather cost fucking effective sort of fashion. So the Ballantine's 12-year-old itself is a collection, is a blend of over or around about 50 different scotches, with the main ones being Milton Duff and Glenbuggie. So it's rather fucking new. I don't think it's all that fucking old, if I've got to be fucking honest with you. Their little blurb on the back of the bottle says, Ballantine's 12-year-old boasts a perfectly balanced creamy character with hints of vanilla, oak and sweet floral aromas, providing a long and rounded finish. Our precious and classic blend contains an extensive collection of whiskies distilled from all over Scotland. Now, let's get straight to it. So it's a rather fucking light golden fucking colour, which I quite like.
Yeah, it's a very...
rather apple juicy.
Yeah, you pretty well nailed it on the head right there.
Oh, smell it. It's got a fucking rather sweet fucking aroma for a scotch.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Dimple.
Yeah, it does a little bit, I suppose. It does a little bit.
Well, mind you, I did drink the Dimple. You didn't. You only had a shot of it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I've got to admit, I'm going into this 100% blind. I haven't. Normally, I'll tuck into it before we review it on the podcast, but I've been saving myself.
Like last week.
Mm.
With your fucking square one.
Yeah, with my square one. I don't know what's going on with me, reason. I've just been saving myself. I don't know why.
You want it more organic. You want the reaction to be more pure.
Well, so the reason why I've been drinking them beforehand is so I've got a decent handle, you know what I mean? So I have decent sesh on it, and I can sort of give you any sort of clue on fucking...
what the hangover is.
Any nasty fucking after effects. But I think we're going to be pretty safe with fucking Ballantine's, so...
yeah, cool.
Let's fucking do this.
Cheers, bottle
Cheers.
Up.
Oh.
Doesn't that pack a punch?
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. That has got a rather fucking smooth and creamy fucking texture about it, I've got to say. It's almost a little bit buttery. No, I mean, like, I mean that in a fucking really good way. That's like I said before, man, if you're going to drink Ballantine's, you really should be drinking the fucking 12-year-old. Mm. You know what I mean? It's not that much more. I think it set me back about $53.
Shit, that's not too bad.
Whereas the normal
balance... what's the ABV on it?
ABV's 40. Nice. Still a stock standard 40. But I mean, like, considering a normal bottle of Ballantine's around here costs about 45, for the extra $8 or $9, you really can't go fucking wrong. It's got a fucking rather smooth finish on it that doesn't sort of really bite in the ass too much at all. I got to say, like I said, man, I'm a fan. I'm a really big fucking fan. Like, I haven't had any of the 12-year-old for fucking years. So it's like drinking it all for the first time all over again.
Like your virgin. Popped your Ballantine's virgin. Cherry again.
Speaking of fucking like a virgin.
Yeah.
Did you see that nun down in fucking South America? He got reamed by the Catholic Church for releasing that as a fucking single?
No.
Oh, yeah. What? I completely forgot about this, eh? This fucking nun down in South America, she's like a bit of a songstress.
Yeah.
And she released Like a Virgin.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't she cop
what an idiot.
Fucking pizzling. Oh, well, I mean, if anybody's going to sing it.
Yeah, true.
Well, not a fucking nun. But anyway, back on topic. Stay on target. What did you think of it, man?
I like it. It packs a pretty big punch at the start of it.
Really?
I reckon it does.
Nah, man, I found that fucking rather subdued and smooth did the whole fucking way through. Yeah. I did. I found it rather fucking even the whole way through. You know what I mean? Nothing sort of really leapt out as far as bite or punch. It just went down.
It was only really at the start where the initial taste and burn came into play. But then it kind of fizzled away and... Yeah,
it is one you drink on a cold winter's night because it's not like something, it's something you drink.
Something that keeps you warm.
Oh, yeah, without, you know, sort of fucking sitting there like a fucking lump of fucking hot lead in your friggin' stomach or your chest for that matter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a nice warm tingle fucking throughout the body. So, bro, what are you going to give this one, this rating?
Look, I liked it, but I'm not the hugest fan. I usually tend to go for the sweeter scotches, not the creamy ones.
I thought that was fucking sweet enough.
It's sweet, but it's, yeah, I don't know. I want to give this one an A-.
An A-? That's not too fucking bad from JD. I love it. I'm fucking slowly bringing to the dark side, eh?
What, of scotch?
Of scotch. Because you weren't a scotch drinker when we first met.
No, I wasn't at all.
No, you really and fucking didn't like it.
The only bottles at home that have anything in them other than the fucking Book of Noses, McCallum's and... Well, up until yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, man, I'm going to give this one a solid fucking... You know, fuck it. You know, I'm going to give it an A+.
Well, there you go.
Because, you know, I've had the equivalent of, say, like your Johnny Walker, a couple of your other fucking blended scotches of the same sort of rough level.
Yeah.
And I fucking really enjoy it. You know what I mean? And considering it's about, like I said, $8 more than the fucking your stock standard fucking Ballantine's. You really can't go fucking wrong, you know what I mean? It is one that you know, like, I may hesitate at times to drink Ballantine's, you know, on the rocks or fucking neat, whereas that, I've got no hesitation whatsoever. I wouldn't mix that.
You'd lap it up.
I would lap it up.
All over your face, neck and chest, if I may quote.
The newly fucking bald-faced Kevin Smith.
Oh, don't he look fucking weird? Oh my god! If he stayed like that and didn't show anyone, he'd be able to fucking go incognito everywhere.
Yeah, well, that's what he said actually, fucking on the latest Babylon.
Yeah,
but so that's our Ballantine's 12-year-old. It's an A- from JD and an A+ from the Drunkle. All right, bro, let's get this out of the road.
Where do I start?
Where do you start? Hang on. I know exactly where we start. you may continue talking if you wish.
Well, I went searching around yesterday and the usual bottle-o that I went to was shut. I missed it by 15 minutes. So I drove around to a Liquor Legends. The new one in town, right. Yay. On the corner. And I was looking around and I spotted this fucking Australian spirit. Australian bourbon. Oh, yeah. Got a little bit patriotic. Grabbed it. Didn't care for the price. Didn't care for the ABV. Just grabbed it.
Well, I mean, we've had limited success before.
I don't think we've done anything Australian.
That Arctic really. Is Australian.
Oh, sorry.
And I was buying that for quite a while, actually. I didn't fucking mind it, you know what I mean, for the price and whatever you had. So, I was optimistic when you brought it around, you know what I mean? I do like the bottles. I do like the label design on it.
Yeah, it's very basic, very, very basic, and for $28, you wouldn't expect any more.
No, and, well, you don't expect too much.
And from $28, I should have known what I was going to expect, or going to get, sorry. So I cracked it open and gave it a bit of a whiff, and holy fuck. It smelt like dirty old homebrew.
Oh, I tell you what, man. You opened that bottle just before and poured yourself a drink, and I smelt it from across
the
room.
It's potent, hey.
Literally across the room. I thought I'd fucking... One of my kids had left a fucking dirty old apple in here that had gone off. I did. I was looking around for fucking the thing that had gone off.
So, yeah, no, it's... It smells the business of fucking definite homebrew that's just been flavored.
And that's that's the biggest fucking issue I've got with it, I think. Well, that and the fact that it's called a bourbon.
Yes, well, I was going to get to that in a minute. The fucking... A bourbon, by definition, is produced in the US.
Yeah, more specifically, if you want to get...
Kentucky.
Pure about it, yeah. It should only be Kentucky. Like, not even Jack Daniels calls itself a bourbon. It calls itself a Tennessee whiskey.
Exactly. Yeah, so, like, you get your Canadian bourbons and whatnot and your international bourbons, but I'm pretty sure that Australia can't class it as a bourbon.
Well, anywhere outside the US.
What's it called? The fucking Fair Trade Act or some shit like that?
Yeah, well, they if I remember right, they passed an act in... they passed it back in the 70s or something, but they reaffirmed it in 2008, I think it was.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
That you know, bourbon is an essential native spirit of America, and as such, it can only be called bourbon if it's from it. It's sort of like scotch, you know what I mean? Like, it's scotch. You can only get scotch in Scotland if it's made in fucking Scotland, made from Scottish ingredients, or that sort of fucking jazz. And going back to the homebrew note...
Mm.
I highly doubt this is a proper fucking corn mash. You know what I mean? I highly doubt they've got 51% corn.
I highly doubt it's fucking more than 5 months old.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. There's no way it's been fucking aged.
No fucking way. Because it literally smells like fucking homebrew.
Homebrew, yeah. And I've had my fair share of fucking homebrew. You know what I mean? Like, it brings back nasty fucking memories.
Poor Dan.
Oh.
So this bottle was $28. It's 37 percent ABV or 74 proof.
Yep.
Look, man, it's made by Blue Still, which is a small distilling company in Young New South Wales.
Yeah.
And I think pretty sure they started off as a cafe restaurant. So that should be the first red light.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second one was Australian and bourbon in the same sentence.
Yeah, well, there's your indicators. And like I said, man, there are some good Australian fucking product out there. There is some good Australian product out there. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't mind it at all to give the Australian stuff a go, you know what I mean? I don't mind standing behind
it. Like I said, I got very, very patriotic because we rarely do anything Australian.
And that,
I'm all for fucking free advertising.
And that fucking... Yeah, for now. And you know what I mean? Like that Arctica, which is by Edgemill down in Victoria, I think it is.
Yep. I think it's Dandenong.
Yeah, that's maybe a fucking rather nice little vodka, you know what I mean? Mm. So, yeah, it's such a disappointment. Such a disappointment.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
I'm drinking it now in my glass and...
And I feel for you. I do.
Anyway, let's stop pussyfooting around. Let's get down to business.
God damn it. So, like we said...
A little bit darker than the
some fucking homebrew,
the Ballantines, but yeah. Let's just fucking chug it. Cheers.
No. Oh,
yeah. That's fucking rancid.
It's fucking nasty, isn't it? Oh. It's sort of shit you can drink all night, and the only thing that's going to happen to you is you get dizzy when you lie down.
Or fall through a fucking fire.
Oh, that's fucking horrid. That is utterly fucking horrid.
Isn't it?
Tastes like fucking burnt asshole fucking once it's gone. Kicks you in the back of the tonsils like a fucking redneck going to fucking town on a fucking something. Words cannot describe how horrible this is.
Anyway,
my God.
We're still a distillery. I'm still covering you. Create 4 different... spirits.
Yes.
They've got a James Bentley whiskey.
Which I've got some coming.
Oh,
yeah, no, my father-in-law's got some.
Yeah, cool.
That's another fucking bit of evidence. He's got a fucking bottle minus about, I don't know, a drink taken out. And it's sat in his fucking, it's sat in his house for about 2 years.
Well, he can fucking keep it. Just quietly. But anyway, yeah, they've got James Bentley whiskey, Black Widow bourbon, fucking Chiapas tequila.
Yeah, I'll pass.
And Country Dry Gin.
And I'll definitely pass. Like, the thing with gin is, man, it can either be good or it's fucking horrid. Like a priest told me once, no, I'm not going to go into the racism. I'm not.
Accidental racism.
No, this wasn't accidental. This was blatant. Oh, fuck, I'll tell you when we're finished what he said. It fucking shocked me then and it shocks me now.
So, I'm going to jump in and give this a straight out fucking E minus.
F. F. Triple F. Quadruple F. Burn it. Put it outside. It's done. It won't, after tonight, this shit is never coming inside the Hall of Beards.
Well, I give it an E minus because I reserve the fact that there could be something worse out there.
Nah.
There could.
Well, even if there is.
There probably is.
It's still an F. Chances are. It's an utter fucking epic fail from me. Ugh.
Fucking. So that's an E minus from me and a blatant F from Drunkle.
An upset and angry F. Now, look, while we're on the note, while we've got the fucking rage quit fucking music going, my... And speaking of shiteful fucking Australian fucking acts of fucking inhumanity against booze, Divas Von Cat and IGA are in trouble this week.
IGA?
Yes, IGA, the Independent Grocers Association of Australia, right? So you shouldn't have any problem with this overseas. Thank fuck for that.
Lucky you.
So, okay, so Divas Von Cat, just to give you a bit of a background information on that, I think we talked about it on one of the very, very, very first episodes, is this, well, it's labelled as a vodka that sells for about $13 a bottle, which over here in Australia is cheaper than fucking any spirit you're going to find. And there's a reason for that, because it's not a fucking spirit. It is a fortified wine.
So they lied as well as fucking Blue Steel.
Yeah, they did. And they claim it's a way to bring cheap vodka to the fucking masses, right? What it is...
Why would you want to do that, though?
Because they're fuckheads, right? So what they've done,
yeah,
is when you're distilling, right, before you get to the spirit, you've got something called a high wine.
Yeah.
Right? And it's before they fucking top and tail it and all this sort of shit, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's basically just a strong fucking wine, right? And that's all it fucking is. So that's why they can sell it for fucking super duper cheap. And it's only 22%, right? So there's an IGA down in Sydney has been advertising this Divas Von Cat, or Vodcat, I should say, for $12 a bottle or two for fucking $20. Now, this act has been slammed by the Australian Foundation of Alcohol Research and Education, claiming that it encourages pre-loading. You know, this is where you get pissed before you go out, so you're not spending hundreds of fucking dollars down at the clubs. That and the fact that it's, you know, it's sold in a fucking pretty heavy residential area and it's been fucking running clean off the fucking shelves.
So how do they get licenses to do that? Through IGA?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm really not fucking sure how they're fucking working it. But, Divas Beverages, who makes this fucking atrocity, don't even have a phone number you can reach them on.
Oh, really? There's a reason for that.
Yeah, all their contact information is 100% false.
Fucking hell.
And, you know, over here in Australia, they've been really cracking down on the whole fucking preloading and fucking binge drinking and shit. That's why our pre-mixed fucking spirit drinks have got a massive fucking tax on them.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where, what, rum used to be about $35 a carton, now it's about 70 or 80?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that I got to drink rum.
Something stupid like that. The only reason I know that is because Mrs. fucking drinks and fucking horrible shit. Anyway, yeah,
you know,
so...
You know we're going to have to review that one day.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm waiting for a fucking rum drinker to come on so that it gets a half-decent fucking fair review.
Oh, come on now.
So, you know, look, I good on them, because I think this, the governing body over this alcohol bullshit has actually issued seven quite hefty sort of fines and show cause fucking actions against various fucking places, and it looks like Divas Von Cat and IGA both are going to fucking cop the same thing, which is fan fucking tastic in my book, because this shit is fucking evil. I'm telling you right now, people, if you ever see this Divas Von Cat, just stay away. Do yourself a favor, stay away. I had it pushed on me when it first came out in town here. Yeah. Old mate was going to sell me four bottles for $30 because he knew I was a bit of a
vodka connoisseur.
A connoisseur, if you will, of the vodkas especially. And he tried pushing it. And I'm like, nah, dude, I'd have to drink it straight. and it still probably wouldn't rock me. Like, you know, it's fucked. Yeah. And then I looked on the bottom, the back of the bottle, you know what I mean? And they normally got, you know, your little wine glass if it's a wine, or a fucking schooner if it's a beer, or a fucking 7-ounce glass if it's a fucking spirit, and it had a fucking wine glass. And like, nah, dude, I think I'm good. And it smells like wine. Horrible fucking shitbox goon wine.
Oh.
And yeah, no, it tastes like fucking wine too. It tastes like a West Coast cruiser. It's fucking horrid shit.
Fuck that. On that note, stay away from Black Widow bourbon too.
Yeah, so there you go. Now, you've got a bit of fucking news on... while we're on this fucking evil shit, I'll turn this off because that's my rant done. You done ranting?
Yeah, I'm done ranting.
So, you've got a bit of fucking news about stupid people doing stupid shit.
Well, not necessarily stupid people. Oh, it is. But this story has so many fucking moral things wrong with it. I'm just going to read you the fucking article.
Yeah, no, fuck it. We'll do a smodcast. Read the article, bro.
A British girl born with an alcohol-related disorder wants her mum to fork over cash because she drank too much while pregnant.
Now, fucking, I'm going to stop you right there, yeah?
I'll stop for a reason.
Now, drinking when you're pregnant is fucking wrong, yeah? And yeah. Nobody's defending this fucking action of douchebags fucking doing shit like that.
Oh,
yeah?
Fuck yeah. Especially drugs, alcohol, fucking cigarettes. Nah.
Well, I mean, like, a moderate amount of alcohol is all right. In fact, they actually recommend a glass of stout or a pint of stout to pregnant women for the iron intake. But drinking to the point where your child ends up being fucking deformed or having a fucking disability from it is fucking wrong, and you need to be shot in the fucking mouth with something.
Yeah.
Long, hard, and indifferent, if possible.
So that's the first moral fucking thing wrong with it. The 7-year-old child and her guardians...
Hang on, what?
Yeah, the 7-year-old child and her guardians.
I thought this when you fucking brought this to my attention in the first place. Although we're talking an adult.
No,
what the fuck?
I dare say she's getting pushed by her guardians. Are demanding the right to sue the mother for the crime of violence.
What the fuck, man? Okay, so this 7-year-old kid who's clearly been taken away from her mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has been brainwashed by these fucking guardians.
You're fucking joking.
And they're pushing her for money now.
She's 7, bro. She's got no idea what's going on, especially if she's got fucking toxic alcohol syndrome, whatever the fuck they call it.
Now, to sue someone for this kind of shit for money is downright fucking stupid in my eyes.
Yeah.
Go for jail time. Otherwise, they're not going to fucking learn. Money's fucking next to none compared to jail time.
Yeah, no.
And money's just being fucking ignorant and fucking money hungry.
And like, I can sort of kind of fucking get, if I put myself in a fucking maggot frame of mind, I can see why they would chase money, because, you know, they've got to set her up for the rest of her life. But yeah, clearly this woman
needs some kind of compensation, where money's the only thing conversation they can get.
But I mean, clearly this woman isn't a fucking millionaire.
No.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like fucking suing a homeless man.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Clearly this woman hasn't got the fucking biggest amount of fucking brains, and clearly hasn't done too much with her life. Otherwise, she wouldn't end up having a kid taken off her from drinking like a fucking fish.
Yep. So, experts testified that the girl's fetal alcohol spectrum disorder had been caused by heavy drinking. The child's lawyers argued it was a criminal offence, claiming the booze was a noxious thing, a destructive thing, that caused the girl bodily harm. The case hinges on whether the child can legally be considered a person at the time of the injury took place.
Oh, now, no, God.
Let me finish this. This is fucked up, right? In December, I'm assuming last year, the Upper Tribunal of the Administrative Appeals Chamber ruled that unborn children do not qualify as people. The girl's lawyers are appealing.
Yeah, they're taking the whole pro-life fucking approach. Like, this, especially fucking, I'm not quite sure what the abortion laws are over in the UK.
Yeah.
But this has got huge ramifications for the pro-life fucking argument at the moment. What? You know, what's considered fucking human life and all the fucking rest of it. You know what I mean? If this goes through, like, regardless of your fucking personal beliefs on the matter.
Yeah.
If this goes through, this opens a veritable floodgate of litigation against, you know, abortion and fucking all that sort of business.
Fucking oath.
Like, fuck me, Rain. I didn't realize this was as fucking big and deep as what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck me.
I saved this for the fucking podcast.
Well, like I said, man, I thought this was an adult or someone of the age of maturity at least fucking suing the fucking drop deadbeat fucking mother.
It's obvious that the guardians are pushing the fucking kid.
Oh, yeah. Once again, that's another fucking story I'll tell you.
May or may not be a fucking strong word for it.
Well, she's seven. There's no brainwashing involved, right? No. She's been placed in trust or foster.
Yeah.
Right? And they're the ones chasing the money. And I've got strong personal feelings about this in the first place. Once again, another fucking story for another fucking... for when the mics are off, right?
Yeah.
But this sort of shit, just on the base surface of it, just infuriates me. You know what I mean? Especially, like, does it say whether she's in foster, whether she's been adopted, or whether it's gone to family,
it
or
hasn't
fucking
gone into that many details?
Whether it's fucking public trust, which is something we have over, like, that's fucked, man. Either way you cut that, that's fucked. You know what I mean? Like, if you've taken the kid on, especially for your family, just be happy that you're giving this poor fucking child a chance at a life away from a toxic situation.
And even if it wasn't family, even if it was open fucking custody to strangers.
Yeah, well, even that.
Just be fucking grateful you've got a child that is alive.
Yeah, you've gone out of your road, right, or out of your way, or you've done a very fucking big thing, yeah?
Yeah.
You've taken a kid who you're going to fucking have with you for the rest of their life at least, and that's heroic, you know what I mean? I've got nothing but respect for people like that, but to turn around and do this sort of shit, it fucking infuriates me. It really fucking does, you know what I mean? Don't try and do what should be a fucking honest and pure fucking act and then sully it by being a fucking despicable fucking despising fucking little fucktard who needs to be fucking shot out of a cannon into the fucking sun. You know what I mean? This kid's got no idea what's going on.
No, she doesn't.
Wouldn't have a fucking clue at all. Any kid.
Be one of those things where the guardians are repeating, oh, your mother fucked up, fucking rah, rah, rah.
Yeah. Filling shit into the kid's head. Exactly. If they're telling the kid fucking anything, if the kid has got any fucking cognizance, age,
they're fucking lapping it up.
And that's if they're telling the kid anything at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like at that age, especially with the problems that come from that sort of thing, there would be fucking little point telling the kid anything anyway because its understanding of the situation would be non-fucking existent.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's blatant fucking money grabbing from fucktards. Oh, no. Nah. 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 Fuck it.
So, moving right along to a sad piece of news.
No, not sad piece of news. On the note of fucktards who should be fired out of a cannon of the goddamn sun.
Oh.
Chicago news anchor is crying discrimination, claiming she was fired for being drunk on the air, while other big-name journalists like Elizabeth Vargas got a tender loving care for their alcoholism. That's right. This bitch, Edna fucking Schmidt, who is sort of half big name over in the US is a Spanish language journalist who's made a name for herself covering, you know, huge sort of American fucking stuff like 9/11 and Obama's first election, all that sort of shit, right? So she got fired because she was pissed on air, right? And as you fucking should be, douchebag. But then she claims she was hired by this company, Telemundo, by people who knew about her struggles with alcohol. And they also knew that it was the reason why she'd been let go from a previous station.
So what's that got to do with drinking on air?
Well, just don't drink on fucking air. So what her point is, right, other fucking news anchors who have been drunk on air have been given help, like put in programs or promises or fucking Betty Fortson or whatever fuck.
Yeah.
Whereas Telemundo's just been like, nah, can't get the fuck out, you drunk asshole.
Ease to their own.
Well, no, fair enough, man. Like, I drink, and I drink a lot. But if I'm anything, I'm a high-functioning alcoholic. You know what I mean? It doesn't interfere with my fucking job. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't drink during the week, and I don't drink before I go to work, and I don't drink while I'm at work because that's not what you do. If you do that sort of shit, expect to get your ass fired. You know what I mean? Don't turn around and cry fucking poor fucking me because I can't keep a bottle out of me fucking hand for more than 5 minutes at a fucking time. Especially a job that's national, nay, international fucking television. What sort of fucking idiot goes, everybody knows who I am. I'm going to get fucking pissed. Fuck you, idiot. God damn it, man. It annoys the fuck out of me. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Like, okay, so she also names other journalists in her lawsuit, including, like I said, Elizabeth Vargas and ABC News anchor Dan Harris, who she claims got, you know, compassion from their bosses. We'll give you time off. We'll go put you in rehab. We'll get you help. Whereas she, her whole fucking case is built around the fact that, well, why don't they? Why don't I get sent to rehab? What you got to fire me for? They got fucking help. I want fucking help. Well, here's an idea, dickhead. Take a leave of absence. Go get the fucking help yourself, you fuck knuckle.
Here's a question. They're all different fucking stations, and they're all different companies.
Exactamundo.
So why the fuck should they follow in ABC and who are the fuck footsteps?
But this is the line, all right? All that sort of shit annoys me.
Yeah.
This is where she crosses the fucking line, yeah? She points out that alcohol dependence is recognized by the federal government as a disability.
So it's not a disability. It's an addiction, you fuckhead.
Well, addiction is a disability. They're the same thing here in Australia too, right? So she's not only claiming that Telemundo breached her contract, but also violated the Americans with Disability Act because she's disabled. Because she can't fucking... She has no impulse control, and apparently impulse control fucking issues equates to disability. No, it's not, fuckhead. It just means you're an idiot who needs to fucking grow the fuck up. You're not 15 anymore. And they do the same thing here. You know what I mean? That you would be surprised how many motherfuckers are on the disability pension who claim drug addiction. Including
alcohol,
pot, fucking whatever fucking drug they want. Gambling addiction is a fucking disability according to fucking most people. Addiction is not a fucking disability. It is a lack of fucking willpower and impulse control, and you need to get a goddamn fucking grip and grow the fuck up.
To put it politely.
No. Yes, actually, to put it politely. I could go in a lot more fucking in depth, and I'm speaking from motherfucking experience, so fuck you. Come at me, cunt.
Come at me, bro. Yeah, no, that's fucked, man.
Fucking annoys me, man.
I've got family members that have gambling addictions and fucking alcohol addictions, I could say, but it doesn't fucking affect their work life or their home life.
But, I mean, even when it gets to the point where it does affect all these things, it's still not a fucking disability. That's my fucking point. Addiction is not a goddamn disability. Oh, poor me. I can't fucking stop spending money on useless fucking shit that I don't really need to fucking live, but my mind tells me I need to live because I've got the fucking mental fucking fortitude of a fucking 2-year-old. Go fuck yourself, you weak-minded fuck knuckle.
Oh, fucking hell.
Nah, it annoys the shit out of me. Look, I'm all down for everybody having fun. Yeah. Like I said, I'd drink a fucking lot come fucking Friday. And I'm speaking from a place of experience when it comes to addiction in fucking general.
Yeah.
But you know what? Fuck it. I don't let it fucking interfere with my shit. You know what I mean? And even when I have in the past, I still haven't cried. Poor fucking me. I've got a fucking disability.
Yeah, you copped a sweet.
I'm like, well, oh, I can't fucking help it until I fucking could help it. And something I wished it to change. And even when I was forced to a point where it had to change, all it takes is a bit of goddamn fucking willpower to fucking turn this fucking thing, which... Don't get me wrong, at times can be quite fucking all-encompassing and a scary fucking thing to try and confront, but you got to do it. If you got to do it, you got to do it. If it's interfering with your fucking life and what you're trying to do, grow a fucking pair and fucking quit the shit. Fuck.
Yeah, fuckhead.
Man, fucking... I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
What's up?
The Whiskey Bible came out just recently. Well, this year's Whiskey Bible got a bit of news.
No, the new Whiskey Bible's coming out soon. But there's a bit of controversy as usual around it.
I wouldn't call it controversy.
No, well, there is. There is.
Okay, lay it on us.
In the top five, there's no scotch.
Yeah, now this was a bit of a shock.
Controversy.
Well, it's not really controversy. It's more just...
It is because it's the opinion of one man.
Is it one bloke who does this?
I'm pretty sure. Jim Murray.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm pretty sure from what I've read, he's the fucking author and whatnot, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure it's just Jim Murray and his opinions. He must be highly regarded as a connoisseur or a tester to be able to write this sort of shit. But let's just run through some of the fucking things. Let's go from, fuck it, number three, the world's third finest whiskey is Sazerac Rye 18-year-old. The second one was William LaRue. Sorry, I'm dyslexic tonight. William LaRue Weller. And number one surprised everyone. It was Yamasaki single malt sherry.
I almost brought a bottle of that this weekend.
Did you?
I've seen this news. I've been... Because, like, this is the thing I like about the bottle shop I go to in town here. Because, like I said, we live in the middle of buttfuck Australia, yeah?
Yeah.
But we've got one bottle shop that just... It stuns me with some of the things it pulls out of its ass. Like, that square one is hard to fucking find anywhere in this country, and it's got a stock. This fucking Suntory fucking Yamazaki. It's got two bottles sitting down there. It's got the full range of the Suntory fucking Japanese whiskies down there.
Yeah, nice. So, yeah, this dude, he fucking labels all these different whiskies from all these different categories of who wins and whatnot, and fucking some of the ones he's put out, like in the Scotch, for instance. The Scotch whiskey of the year is the Last Drop, 1965. Single malt, multiple casks, is a Highland Park Loki. Single malt, single cask, is the Last Drop Glengarioch, 47-year-old. Fucking got your blended scotches, your fucking Irish whiskey. Irish whiskey of the year was a Redbreast, 21-year-old. American whiskey, bourbon of the year was... William LaRue Weller, which I believe got second in the fucking overall. Bourbon in general got the no age statement category, multiple barrels got the William LaRue as well. The rye, the no age statement got to Thomas Handy Cesarek Rye. Fucking Japanese whiskey of the year was Yamazaki. World whiskeys. Asian whiskey of the year got Kavalan single malt whiskey. And the Southern Hemisphere whiskey of the year got New Zealand Willowbank, 1988. 25-year-old.
What was it called again?
Which one? The New Zealand one?
New Zealand Willowbank.
Willowbank, yeah.
That's going in the book. Because like I said, I'll probably get the fucking Yamazaki. Yeah, tomorrow.
Yamazaki.
I'll probably get it fucking next week, but... Yeah, we'll
give it a go. There's a fucking big list in so many different categories. I'm sure this is just the tip of the iceberg. Like, it's a fucking decent book.
Yeah, no, it is.
I'm keen to get my hands on it.
And it's the world authority on it, too. So, yeah. I mean, either he's got a lot of people tabulating or he's just a fucking idiot savant when it comes to fucking whiskey in general.
Why not?
Well, I mean, somebody's got to fucking do it, so... No, fuck, look, man, it's a bit of a shock and a little bit sad to see fucking Scotch not make any of the top five. But, you know what I mean? Like, Japanese whiskey has been fucking on the up and up for the last, 5-10 years at the very, very fucking least. And they've done the smart thing by not trying to oversaturate the market with fucking, you know, tens of millions of fucking bottles. Like, that Yamazaki, there's 88,000 bottles of it that have been made.
All up.
Since for the January whole, this year. Whole fucking world. You know what I mean?
And we've got two of them here.
Yeah, and we've got two of them. So there's 88,998 fucking bottles elsewhere. You know, and fucking good on them. And they use, like, the yeast they use in their distillation process is based on a sake yeast, which is only found in fucking Japan.
Yeah.
Thank you fucking to Adam Rogers for that little fucking tidbit. Yeah, no, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's no surprise. And they've been quietly fucking sort of poking away in the background fucking with their whiskies and shit for a fucking long time. Like, they've been at it for fucking 60, 70 years now.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, good on them for fucking coming, rising to the fucking cream of the crop. I mean, it's a little bit sad that there was no fucking Scotches there.
Yes, well, there's not a lot of people that are happy that there was no Scotch involved in the top five.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Scotch has been such a stalwart of fucking whiskey in fucking sense fucking history, in history, and fucking especially fucking considering that it's one of the biggest and most fucking pronounced types of whiskey you can get, and it is such a nice spirit. You know what I mean? And the whole single malt fucking Scotch thing is never going to go away, ever, fucking anywhere. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
So, that's fucking rather interesting, man. I found that fucking rather cool, and it has been making waves all fucking week, like I've got to fucking say. Anywho, moving on to something completely fucking different. A 44-year-old fucking mum of six has broken the beer mile record.
So what the fuck is a beer mile record?
Okay, dude. So the beer mile was created in 1989 by Canadian college students, and typically you will see a competitor slam a tinny.
Yep.
You know, a 375 or a 12-ounce fucking can of fucking beer. That is a minimum of 5%. Run a fucking quarter mile, slam another fucking can, run another quarter mile, slam another can, run another quarter mile, slam a can, run another quarter mile, and they're done. So you end up running fucking a mile and slam four fucking cans of beer.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's become fucking sort of a thing in the last fucking couple of years because there have been a couple of high profile sort of attempts at it. Like I said, it's not like a, you won't see it in the Guinness Book of Records or nothing for sure, but...
Hey, there's fucking smaller things that have been in the Guinness World Book of Records. Well, Guinness Book of World Records.
There's worse things you could be fucking known for. So she has actually beaten the ladies' beer mile by a full 13 seconds, setting the new record. Now, keep in mind, this is running a full mile and sculling four beers at 6 minutes 28 seconds.
Nice.
Which is a fucking decent effort. It would take me that to run fucking the first lap, I think. And then I wouldn't need a beer. I'd need about three beers and a fucking, you know, a Ventolin fucking puffer. So, drip. Yeah. So it's Texas mother of six, Chris Kimbrough, is the lady who set the new record. And look, man, you've got to go ahead to the fucking beermile.com and check out not only the rules but the current fucking champions just to have a look at some of the rules. Okay. So, like, for instance, one of the rules is, like I said, the beer has to be a minimum of 5% ABV. Yep. And if you spew, you have to run a penalty lap every time you spew. So she...
Fuck that.
Yeah, man. So last time it was done down in fucking Texas, which is why the Austin-based mother sort of got into it in the first place, because she's won a couple of national fucking running awards, apparently, recently too. Yeah, nah, look, it's fucking... I just thought it was a nice little fucking interesting fucking piece to fucking have a bit of a yarn about because, fuck yeah, I mean, there's no way you'd see me do it, but why the fuck not? Fuck, you know what that. I mean? And 6.5... Well, under 6.5 minutes to run fucking over a kilometre and slam a beer because you've got 10 metres to finish that beer before you can fucking... If you hit that 10 metres and you haven't finished, you've got to stop. Finish your beer, put the cunt down, and then fucking keep going. You know what I mean? You've got...
Oh, there's a barrier between...
Yeah,
you can't just run and chug a beer.
No, you can pick the beer up 10 metres before the lap's finished, crack it and scull it while you're running, or you can stop, crack, scull, run.
Yep.
And now, she did admit that she didn't feel a single thing until after she was finished. She was having a bit of a walk with the hubby and fucking it sort of hit her all at once. But
poor bitch.
Fuck, man. What a great... I've never heard of the beer mile before. It's cool. Like when I first thought, I was like, what is this, like a yard glass? No, nothing like a yard glass. There's actual exercise involved. But man, fucking why not, eh?
You built up sweats just reading about it.
I did, man. I got puffed by the end of the article. I'm like, whoa, fuck that. You know what I mean? And I'm fucking looking around everywhere to find out how much beer they've got to chug and shit. And she ended up picking a beer. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. That was 5.1%.
Oh, so she's got bare minimum.
No, well, why not? It's like 1.2 standard fucking drinks. So you're slamming about five standard drinks by the time you finish the lap. And you got to run, like not just jog or leisurely stroll. You got to motherfucking run that goddamn mile. Because, I mean, 6 minutes for a mile is pretty fucking intense. And she was averaging a minute 10 for every tinny to scull.
Fuck, that's not too bad.
Well, considering I can't fucking scull, I'm impressed. And when you put into perspective that the male record holder for the beer mile at the moment was slamming a can in about 55 to 60 seconds, she's holding up pretty fucking well.
And a mother of six.
And a mum of six, yeah. So, I mean, there's not a lot of practice that she got in, she was saying. I think she'd only done it about 12 times before she actually went for her fucking run.
Yep.
So, yeah, fucking... Chris Kimbrough, we raise our glass to you. Cheers. Now, I was going to talk about this last week.
Yeah.
But I thought, best not. But you found it this week. Let's talk about artisanal ice.
Artisanal ice. Oh, for fuck's sake. There's another one of those fucking hipster fucking things. There's a craze going around in the hipster world.
Oh, when isn't there a fucking craze going around the hipster world?
It's called artisanal ice.
Dish.
What's artisanal ice cubes?
What is artisanal?
For fuck's sake.
Tell us, Bray, what are artisanal ice cubes?
It's a piece of ice that's been stored in -2 degrees and sculpted with a Japanese bandsaw to 2 by 2 inches.
I mean, which cubed. Is a fucking damn big ice cube.
Yeah.
It's you a, need it's a special glass.
Fucking ice cube.
You're not throwing that in the fucking normal fucking whiskey glass. I'll tell you that right now.
Apparently, the method makes it a lot denser and a lot clearer.
Yeah.
So, they're going for look rather than fucking...
Well, I mean, like, there's a bit more to it. Like, yeah, it's special water that's been treated a certain way before it's frozen, then it's frozen a certain way.
There's a machine that does that. But the thing that got me is they're paying an extra dollar for every fucking ice cube, right?
Yeah, and see, fuck you, it's water out of a tap.
And apparently it makes a big fucking difference.
I fucking rage at the fact that I've got to pay $1.50 for a 2 kilo bag of fucking ice because I'm too lazy to freeze my own. So let alone $1 a fucking cube. Like my bag of ice, if it was artisanal ice, it'd be about $400.
There's a catch here, though.
What's the catch?
You know how most hipsters are like, oh, the environment didn't fucking run.
Yeah, nah. This blows the argument clean out of the
water. Doesn't it what? The fucking, these big blocks of ice that are made usually for fucking ice carving are made by this machine called a climb belt. And this thing runs for a minimum of 3 days. To make the same amount as a normal ice machine maker does in one day, right? Yeah. So basically, it's using 3 times the fucking power as a normal one.
But the ice is so pretty.
Oh, fuck the ice.
And it lasts for so long.
Oh, my God. So not only do they pay the fucking extra dollar for the ice, they're fucking wasting electricity.
It's a lot of carbon credits, bro. It's a lot of carbon credits.
Good on you, hipster. Fuck. Good on you. Good job.
I cannot wait till this 15-year fucking thing is over, eh?
Oh, how long has it been? Like fucking 7?
No, it's been about 15 years since the hipsters first turned up on the scene.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a long time. It was fucking early to mid-90s.
Fuck.
Just after the fucking flannels, you know, the flannel shirts
and
the Nirvana, came the hipster.
Excuse
That's
me.
That's exactly what I've got to fucking say. No matter what I tell you, fucking what?
Fucking hipster. Fuck.
Oh, man. And then, like, oh, I don't know, dude. Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's certain things about hipsters that I can get behind. But the fact that they're so proud of the fact that they were there first is what fucking drives me from it. Like, yeah. So we used to call them yuppies where I come from.
Yeah, I still call them yuppies.
Yeah, I still call them yuppies. You know, the designer mud wearing fucking.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So here's a perfect example of pre-hipster era hipster behavior. Yeah. Back in the very early fucking 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
You could buy designer mud.
What?
Okay, so you know how SUVs and four-wheel drives are all the fucking rage?
Yeah.
You used to be able to buy buckets of special mud that you could throw on your car to make it look like you'd been off-road in your fucking, you know, $70,000 fucking Jeep.
Oh, here's a wild idea. Go off-road.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, this is the sort of shit
I'm
about.
Oh, my God, I don't want to scratch the rim or the paint job going through the bush.
Yeah, but I want to look like...
But I bought a fucking four-wheel drive for the exact same fucking thing.
Oh, bro. I was into SUVs years before everybody else was into SUVs. It turns me away from shit. It's the whole reason I never bought an iPhone, and then when I finally got around to having an iPhone, I literally gave it away a week later.
Yeah.
I was just like, nah, every other motherfucker's got an iPhone. They're so fucking hip with their fucking iPhones. You know what you can do with your iPhone, cunt? Here's a pound of butter. Go fucking, go imagine what I'm going to tell you to do, motherfucker. And then I got an iPhone. I'm like, no wonder I fucking hated this fucking bullshit.
Despite the fact that it's Apple anyway.
Well, like, you know, Apple's I'm fine with. It's the fact that it's so fucking, you know, it's a racist fucking phone. Okay. Clarify,
because I don't get it.
All right, okay, so Apple is technologically racist because if you don't have Apple products, we won't associate with other Apple, non-Apple products. You can only use an iPhone with other iPhones. You can't send shit off an iPhone to anything else but an iPhone, and you can't really plug your iPhone in anything but a fucking Apple computer. But then people got angry, so we made a special Apple program called iTunes that you could download on any computer, but it still doesn't work as good as if you put it on an Apple. You know what I mean? And I mean, you can jailbreak it, but then we fixed it, so it's really hard to jailbreak because we only want you to use Apple products and Apple products because Apple, 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 stuff. Go fuck yourself,
it's
you
all about
retarded
our money, man.
Yeah.
all about the iCash.
It's all about the iBenjamins.
What are they here? Greenbacks?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're greenbacks fucking over there too. It's just our greenbacks have a lot more fucking value.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
anyway.
And one last piece of sad fucking news this week. Bushmills got sold, bro.
I know. Bushmills got sold to...
The oldest surviving Irish fucking distillery got sold.
They did to a Mexican co by the name of Jose Cuervo.
Oh, Jose Cuervo. They make a rather nice fucking tequila. They're the ones with the fucking worms in them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Bushmills was owned by Diageo. And so they exchanged... Well, it was more of an exchange.
Why? What did Diageo get?
Diageo got the Don Julio collection.
Oh, yep.
The Don Julio collection involves the Blanco, Reposado... I'm going to ruin this one. Añejo. The 70 Añejo Claro, the 1942, and the Real. All of which are...
Tequilas.
Obviously, the tequilas.
Well, they all mean different things, okay? They're,
The age. The age is the only difference between the lot, because the Blanco is bottled immediately.
Which is why it's white, which is what Blanco means. Blanco means white.
Reposado is aged 8 months. The Añejo is 18 months. The 70 Añejo Claro is 18 months that undergoes some fucking unique process to highlight their intense agave flavor. The 1942 is aged 2.5 years and the Real's aged between 3 and 5. All aged in American white oak barrels.
Yay.
So that was the exchange, which kind of makes sense because they got 6 for 6. Because Bushmills has got the Bushmills Original, the Black Bush, Irish Honey, Single Malt 10, Single Malt 16, and Single Malt 21.
Well, there you go.
So that this is a bit of fucking news for you now.
Isn't it getting passed around like a fucking prison bitch?
Yeah. the main reason for Diageo selling it was because they want to strengthen their tequila.
Well, they tequila, copped a fucking
strength in the market.
Well, they copped a fucking pizzling in fucking whiskey sales. They were down like some stupid amount of millions.
I was actually reading the other day. It's 1.1 billion down from last year. The whole fucking sales.
No, I think, didn't we cover this last week? Because they're rolling back their entire
I went and double checked it and it was $1.1 billion in overall sales.
Like, there has been, already. Or there is, we are in the middle of a whiskey downturn at the fucking moment. I'm not talking just Irish whiskey or fucking whiskey. I'm talking the whole fucking thing that comes under the whiskey brand. So, you know, everything but bourbon, essentially, because bourbon's suffering a bit, is experiencing a rather big boom at the moment. But Scotch and fucking Irish whiskey in particular are on a bit of a downturn.
It's all the vodka.
It's all vodka
and
bourbon.
It's all vodka.
Everybody's after the vodka and it's bourbon.
And the vine.
And the vine. Well, the vine's always going to be there because, you know, the Germans love the vine.
Yeah, there's fucking wine everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
How many vineyards are here around us? There's like fucking 10 of them at least.
Oh, there's 3 or 4 fucking main ones, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That brings us to the end of our beers news.
I promise I'll stop being so negative because, you know what? Oh, I get to take my kids to go watch a fucking Toy Story movie in the theatre. Well, I get to take my youngest Toy Story, the theatre.
In the theatre.
Well, it's not really the theatre, it's the cinema. Yes, Toy Story 4 has been announced.
Fuck yeah. So John Lasseter is going to return to direct Toy Story 4. He was the one that directed 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Fuck, who directed number 3?
Don't know, don't care, move on.
I can't remember. Anyway, that's all the fucking... I'm pretty sure Tom Hanks and Tim Allen are going to reprise their roles.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're busy.
Well, they'd have to. They're fucking... No one else could voice Woody and Buzz.
Now, this is how long this has been going on, and this also, I don't know, might show my age. I remember watching number 2 in the theatre. And I wasn't an adult. I was half excited about the fact that I was watching it in the cinema. The cinema.
So this has got a release date of June 16, 2017.
Which is still
a little bit of ways away.
Ed, we've got the We've got the new special coming out on the 2nd of December.
Yeah, the Halloween one.
No, the holiday special. Halloween was last year. Toy Story of Terror.
Oh, was that last year?
Yeah, no, look, man, my fucking kid loves fucking Toy Story. Like, we have watched it that many fucking times. Yeah. It is beyond fucking belief.
Just Pixar in general.
But, I mean, like, I don't know, man. It's fucking nice to see them getting another one. It's a bit of a surprise because I thought they wrapped that trilogy up pretty fucking neatly.
Yeah, so did I. It's going to be hard to kind of equal nor top what they did in number three.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they fucking go. Put it that way.
Hmm.
So, what else we got? We got, oh, The Hateful Eight. Let's get this out of the road.
Oh, yeah, the Weinstein Company has officially announced the cast of Hateful Eight. It goes as follows. Samuel L. Jackson as Major Marquis Warren. Fucking Kurt Russell as John the Hangman Ruth. Jennifer Jason Leigh as Daisy DeMerg.
Power of
DeMerg,
Babe.
DeMerg you? Walton Goggins as Chris Mannix. Damian Bircher? I don't know. As Bob?
Tim, oh, good old Bob.
Bob. Tim Roth as Oswaldo Mowbray. Michael Madsen as Joe Cage. And Bruce Dern as General Sanford Smithers. Channing Tatum's actually been signed on officially, but it's an unspecified role.
Okay.
So there you go. That motherfucker's on an up and up as well. He's getting very busy lately.
Well, he deserves it. I admit, I was fucking a bit skeptical at first, but I mean, he's proven himself to be a pretty decent sort of fucking actor, I suppose.
Yeah, he's broadened his spectrum with the whole fucking jumping from drama to comedy to fucking whatnot and
romantic.
He's kind of proven himself. Yeah, romanticness. The Vow.
Yeah.
Worst movie ever, just if you ask me. I hated it. Mrs. But, loved it, but I hated it.
Yeah, look, man, don't take this the wrong way, but I could give two fucks about this movie. Like, I'm gonna watch it and I'm gonna love it because it's Quentin Tarantino. I love Quentin Tarantino, but I just don't care.
Why?
I just don't. I don't know why. I could give a fuck. I really could. But you
is
know,
it, is it because he fucking like nah? Because some fuckhead released the fucking. The script, and then he's reneged and be like, yeah, I'm actually
not it. Even that. Like, the thing I've always liked about Quentin Tarantino is he's never really stuck to one particular style. You know right. what I mean? Like, there's always yeah. been elements that he's kept and carried on.
He's always gone left field with his shit.
But this is the second Western that he's doing.
Why not?
Well, fucking do something different. I don't know, man.
That's like saying he's already done a couple of horrors. So why go back to horror?
Well, boy, this is the thing with Quentin. He fucking does different
shit
all the fucking time.
He's already done some shit that's R-rated. Why would he go back to R-rated? Why not
do some
G-shit?
Okay, I don't know. I'm grasping at straws. I just don't fucking care about this fucking movie. Like Death Proof. I didn't give a fuck about Death Proof either.
I didn't watch it.
You know what I mean? The Grindhouse movies I didn't care about. I don't seem to really care about this.
I didn't care about.
Now, I'm going to get skinned here, but Django didn't really fucking buzz my fucking balls either.
Oh.
You know, it was all right, but... I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is, man.
Rebel.
No, I just don't care. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. It just doesn't. I don't know. Maybe I watched too many Westerns as a kid.
Probably.
You know what I mean? One of those things that should fucking endear
you
to a genre.
You're still stuck on Clint Eastwood.
Well, no, like I used to like the Westerns as a kid, but I just don't care anymore. You know what I mean?
Nah.
No, what I mean? I just don't give a fuck.
Nah.
You know what I do give a fuck about?
Fucking Star Wars.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, Star Wars. Fucking, they finally fucking released the friggin', what do you call it, the fucking title this week.
The title, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm fucking...
Did you notice they dropped the episode number?
I did notice that, which is what they did originally, because it was never Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. It was always just Star Wars, A New Hope.
Mm.
Well, I think even originally it was just Star Wars, I think.
Oh, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
But hang on, I'm just queuing up some appropriate music. Yeah, we're doing that. So, you know, fucking, what do you think about the title, man? The Force Awakens.
I like it.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Not
all that original in my eyes, but yeah, they could have come up with something a little bit better.
Well, I mean, like they're trying to make a break, I think, from especially the prequels. But then again, in saying that, all six movies, sort of the titles ran together rather nicely.
Yeah.
So, you know, with some of the rumors I've heard about fucking Luke Skywalker in fucking general.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm rather interested to fucking see what is going on. I mean, it's a title of Star Wars. I'm fucking so fucking happy. Don't get me fucking wrong. I love it. I love it. I love the fact we got a title, which means by Christmas we should have a fucking trailer.
You'd reckon so. Like, I reckon even beforehand.
Well, considering the fact that this week, just this week, filming was officially wrapped up.
Yep.
You know, and they had the party. And fucking Mark Hamill was sans the beard, which has set the internet on fire. Because people are fucking unsure, and there are, of course, many arguments about whether he shaved the beard because he's done filming or whether it's some sort of plot device that he had the beard and then lost the beard, especially when you factor in some of the rumors that have been going around about Luke Skywalker and fucking where he's been and what he's been doing for the last fucking 30-odd years.
There's a lot of rumors going around.
Well, there is.
One in particular I really, really liked.
All right, lay it on us.
All right, I'm just going to fucking read from the plot points here. Spoilers.
Alleged
spoilers too. So yeah, somewhere between episode 6 and 7, he experienced some sort of force breakthrough.
You read the same article I did.
I did.
Yeah.
Rendering him the most powerful fucking Jedi ever. So that'd make sense to Force Awakens.
Yes, this is coming from our good old friends over at Latino Review, yep, who are very rarely wrong about most of their shit.
Yep. They're very, very reliable about that shit.
Yeah.
So, next one, he doesn't trust himself with these abilities. He doesn't have full control over them. So, meaning he accidentally causes disturbances within the Force?
Yeah, no matter where he goes, what he does, and apparently both sides, good and bad, try to draw him out in this conflict that's come about.
He's definitely scared of following in his old man's footsteps. Yeah, old Darth Vader. Both sides have tried to lure him out and, you know, use his abilities for their own needs. His sanity is unclear, for one.
Yeah, which would make sense, I suppose. Yeah.
He gets uncontrollable visions and whatnot and premonitions. And with these fucking premonitions and visions from the past, it could mean that he's bringing back different characters, like Obi-Wan and Yoda.
Well,
all
this talk of certain characters turning up in flashbacks,
yeah,
it would make a lot of fucking sense, you know what I mean? It would fit. You know, so I've been trying to fucking stay away from the rumors and potential spoilers the last couple months.
I saw it and I'm like,
Well, I did today just because all this talk of him with no beard is sort of set, like I said, the internet has been set on fucking fire. So I've been a little bit fucking curious. It got the better of me. I couldn't help my fucking self because, you know, it's Star Wars and fuck you, I'm a Star Wars nerd. So go fuck yourself with a pointed stick. So, yeah, no, look, man, fucking, it's wrapped. It's done. It's fucking, they're on to the next phase, the editing phase. This shit is really fucking happening.
Yeah, the editing and effects, I believe.
You know what I mean? I'm not looking forward to camping out for about 3 days to watch it in IMAX.
Yeah, no.
And I was a little bit surprised that they only shot one fucking scene in IMAX. You know what I mean? Because JJ loves the fucking IMAX in general. So I would have thought this would have been the perfect little scene.
Reading that he wasn't going to originally do it. He was originally going to do it in IMAX, but then he decided not to.
But I mean, IMAX is
too noisy.
IMAX is a bitch to film in, from what I've heard. It is an utter fucking pig of a fucking format.
Yeah, I think we touched on that fucking ages ago. Like months. Yeah. But anyway, that's some fucking excellent news. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm very excited. One day very soon, we're going to have to do a full Star Wars fucking special episode, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Once I've got a couple more mics.
I dare say when the podcast splits.
I couldn't resist. I had to. Any fucking who.
Wow, that was fucking loud.
It's time to talk about, it's Movember, bro.
Happy Movember.
Happy fucking Movember, dude. This fucking, we're going to give it a shout. Of course we're going to give it a shout out. With the drunken beersman, we'd have to hand in our fucking beard cards if we didn't talk about fucking Movember for just a quick hot minute. So in case you've been living under a rock for the last, I don't know, fucking 5 or 6 years, Movember is an annual event involving the growing of mustaches during the month of November to raise awareness for men's health, more specifically prostate cancer.
Good on them.
Because there's too much prostate cancer in the fucking world today.
Too much prostate cancer.
Prostate cancer. So, look, man, it's been around since 2004. but it goes back even further than that. In 1999, and now how is this? This seems to be an Australian fucking created thing, right? Nice. So, but well, all the way back in 1999.
Get some Prince up your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Or the person formerly known as Prince.
A group of young men.
That symbol?
Okay, shut the fuck up. I'm moving on. Ain't no purple rain up in this bitch.
What about a raspberry beret?
So, in 1999, I'm so sorry I did that. 1999, a group of young men in Adelaide, all the way down in South Australia, state of churches and sweet-ass marijuana, coined nice. The term Movember with the idea of growing mustaches for charity throughout the month of November. Blah-de, 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 blah. Now, apparently the group started with 80 men from Adelaide and had and by what? I think 2004 had become a national fucking phenomenon where, you know, it turned into an event where, you know, men would grow a mustache for 30 fucking days, raise money for awareness for prostate cancer, and now depression in men became a fucking hot button ticket as well.
See, that's really hard to grow a decent mustache in 30 days, hey?
Well, not really.
Yep.
For you, maybe.
Fuck you. Just because my hair doesn't grow an inch a day.
Well.
You fucking mongoloid.
That's racist.
Accidental racism.
So by 2010, an online global user-submitted video contest was launched called The Moskers, where you could actually submit and be awarded prizes for your nice little mustache. So, now how is this? This spun me out, yeah? In 2012, the head judge, now guess who the head judge was?
Who?
Stan motherfucking Lee.
Like the...
Excelsior!
Generalissimo.
Yes, the Generalissimo of fucking Marvel Comics was the fucking... The head judge. I mean, he's been rocking a mo for fucking years. Oh, yeah. So, you know, it doesn't make... It doesn't really surprise me. But he awarded the Oscar to a South African comedy duo called Derek Watts and the Sunday Blues for their video, The Movember Song. So, move that back just a little bit. So there has been a little bit of controversy to come about. In November 2007, a college over in New Zealand where what happened is several fucking students were banned from end-of-year prizes for growing mustaches, and the college actually threatened to ban senior students from their, you know, final examinations for growing a mustache during November due to, what do you call it, fucking dress code.
Really?
The fucking misers.
What the fuck?
Mm.
No, seriously, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, 2007 was apparently a bad year for the Movember organization because it was also the same year that my fucking, just the wretched hive of villainy and scum on television today, tonight, accused the Movember Foundation of spending a disproportionate amount of fucking funds on actually running the friggin' competition, well, running the fucking organization and the high prices for its directors. You know, so, you know, it all sort of fucking went away. But, I mean, this has become a fucking international fucking way to raise awareness. And it's also a good excuse for men to get the creepy fucking porn stash on.
Why not?
You know, like, this is the thing, right? I love a bit of facial hair as much as the next fucking person, but mustaches I can't come at.
It's
too creepy.
Too much.
It's too creepy. You know what I mean? There's some pictures I could show you of me with a mustache.
And I could just imagine.
I look like a fucking rapist. I do, man. I can't. I can fucking grow a hefty fucking mo, but
oh shit.
And I don't. I just don't like it on other people either. It creeps me the fuck out. But you know
there's
what?
I still don't. I don't get the point of a mustache. Why would you grow a mustache and not the rest of it?
Well, see, I fucking hate a mustache at the fucking best of fucking times. You know what I mean? Like, I don't fucking like it.
Like, good on them that grow, like, big fucking mustaches that aren't creepy or porn related.
Yeah, I mean, if you grow a decent mustache, more power to you. It's just, I fucking can't come at it. But you know what? As far as a way to fucking raise awareness and raise some money
a
good cause, why the fuck not?
I know plenty of people that are fucking out there growing mows right now.
Yeah,
for a good cause.
You know what? If you haven't got a mustache yet, now's the time to do it without getting fucking pulled over for
it. And donate.
You can head along to a couple of different sites. I'm sure Movember.com's a site. And I'm sure.
Yeah, you're sure.
I'm how certain
sure,
of it. Just,
how sure are you certain of it?
I'm as sure as a shit on a stick. You know what I mean?
Don't ask me why I've got something on that one.
I don't know either. But you know what? This got me really excited this year. This got me really, really excited because, you know, this is the first year I've sort of really delved into social media because, I don't know, fuck social media. I suppose it's the devil has been my fucking position for a long time. Do you want some ice for you? Do you want a scotch, man?
No, I'm good. Ugh. My fucking got to drive, remember?
Gives a fuck. So, like I said, man, I was really fucking excited this year when I found out there's a thing called Decembeard.
And it just so happens to run after Movember.
That's right. So you can turn.
So you can keep growing your fucking facial hair everywhere.
You can turn that creepy mustache into a nice, full-blooded fucking beard. So Decembeard was established in the United Kingdom in 2011 after a fellow by the name of Chris Evans announced on Twitter that he was going to take part in Decembeard as he'd missed Movember.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor fella.
Now, Alison. Now, I hope I'm saying this right. Alison Self, or Selfie, depending on how you want to read that, S-E-L-F-E, who was a beating bowel cancer supporter, sadly, who is no longer with us, unfortunately, immediately tweeted him back asking him to do it for the beating bowel cancer, as she knew his father had died of the disease. So they must have been fucking friends. There must be some sort of knowledge there. Now, Beating Bowel Cancer has been raising funds throughout December for Decembeard ever since. And it's been around for fucking quite a few years. So, look, it is in, I don't think it's in America just yet. I know there is a site for it, but it's not a proper fucking website.
Yep.
So they haven't quite got the legs underneath them. But I do know it has been in Australia for the last year or two, and I do know it's over in New Zealand especially. This year, the charity has decided it's going to set its target at £250,000.
Nice.
That's £250,000, which is about $400,000 American and about $3.5 million Australian.
Oh, it's about $450,000 here.
Yeah, it's
$500,000.
It's something fucking ridiculous like that. Yeah. Which, I mean, they believe it's achievable, and why the fuck not? You know what I mean? Bowel cancer is not just in the UK, but also here, the second biggest killer of men, with, what is it, 1 in 10 of Australian men, and especially being diagnosed with bowel cancer every year. And it's a fucked up disease, dude. I've got to fucking say, it is fucking horrible. You know what I mean? Any disease that they send out a test kit once you hit 50...
Oh, really?
Yep. Every fucking person who turns 50 in this country gets a stool sample kit so you can take a shit in a bag and send it off to make sure you're not getting bowel cancer.
Fuck.
And I mean, really, when you think about it, it is one of the worst ways to fucking go as far as I can... Like, one of the worst cancers, at least, to go, because if you can't shit, your ass is going to die in a real fucked up way, you know? You know what I mean? Like, there's bags and chemos and all sorts of fucked up horrible shit to go with it,
that.
So...
I'll probably go like that fucking... fucking Brittany Maynard, I think. It's been going around. She had some kind of cancer and decided to end her life.
Oh, the euthanasia fucking... The euthanasia fucking proponent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, look, man, they reached out to us on Twitter and I quickly fucking agreed because, you know, cancer's a fucked up disease in the first place. And like I said...
It's for a good cause. I'm for good causes.
And it is a very, very good cause. It is a massive fucking killer that doesn't get anywhere near enough fucking press. And like I said, any reason to fucking have a beard, I'm all fucking down for.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, here in Australia, we do have an organisation that is down for Decembeard, but unfortunately, they are about as active as a fucking prostate on an 80-year-old man. I'm sorry, but no. I just can't fucking get behind the Aussies, unfortunately, in this. So, you know, you can pop along to a couple of different fucking websites. Like I said, the main one is decembeard.org. That will lead you to the British crew. Or you can go to decembeard.org.au. That'll lead you to the Australian crew. Or you can go to decembeard.org.nz for the New Zealand crew. And I can't remember the American name. It's, I mean, if you Google it, it'll turn up. It's like, igotaname.com/decembeard. You know, if you are listening and you are in America and you want to get behind a fucking good cause for charity, by all means, Google that shit out, find it, jump on board, fucking grow yourself a beard, or if you've already got a beard like we do here at the Drunken Beersman, why not grow it just a little bit fucking longer? You don't have to shave it at the end of the month. That's not what it's about. It's no shave for a cure.
Yeah, no. Why not keep it?
Well, why not? In fact, indeed. And you know what? If you've been umming and ahhing whether to grow a beard, well, guess what? You've got 30 days officially to fucking sack up and see if you can get away with it. You got 30 days pressure-free to grow yourself a beard where you don't have to worry about it, and that is coming up in about 22 days' time.
As of recording.
Yeah. So, you know what? Like I said, man, I'm really fucking, really happy to get behind this sort of fucking, get behind this fucking cause, you know what I mean? Movember as well, you know what I mean? Like, they're both really good causes. It's not just an excuse to fucking put the razor down, which I fucking hear is getting, is really hurting the Gillette.
Really?
Yeah, no, they fucking, there was an article.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Just to get off topic for a minute, there was an article this week where Gillette was crying poor because they were down like 8% in their fucking annual sales.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, motherfuckers are like, fuck you, razor. And why the fuck not, man? You know what I mean? So if you want an excuse, yeah, and if you want an excuse to grow a beard, this is the perfect excuse. If you want an excuse to grow a beard and you want to help out a cause that really could use the exposure, I cannot recommend a fucking better cause for it.
If you want an excuse to fucking donate, why not donate to this cause?
And you don't have to grow a beard to donate. You can straight up donate. I mean, if you're one of the ladies out there who want to support, throw your support behind December or Movember, you can sign up to both and grow, bake, or fucking fake your own mustache / beard or whatever you wish to do. You can sign up. I'm sure you'll find the links out there. Just Google that shit because I'm pissed and unorganized. So,
yeah.
That's what you fucking get. So I just wanted to close out the show with those two really important fucking points because, you know what, it's something that's very near and dear to my own heart. I've lost family members to cancer, as I'm sure most fucking people out there have. So go ahead, look it up, Movember and Decemberbeard.
Yeah, well, we're going to put up the links to Decemberbeard and Movember on the website up until New Year's. Or maybe even longer. Why not just leave them on there for a good cause?
Yeah, well, we will. You know what? Fuck it, we will. So by the time this comes out, you'll have links to all the relevant sites and all the relevant information you need to know, whether you're just curious, whether you want to know what it's all about, or whether you're a full-blooded supporter, or even if you've just heard about it and you've been doing it anyway and you want to sort of really throw your support behind it, head along to www.thedrunkenbeardsman and you will find all the information you need to know right there. I think that's all I've got, bro.
Have you got
anything else?
No.
Fuck it. We're in this shit. So, bro, where can they find us?
You can head over to www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com. There you'll find all our written reviews and the extracted audio from the podcast. You can find all the links to everywhere we are, Facebook, Twitter, fucking email us on mailbag at thedrunkenbeardsman.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And if you are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, don't forget to rate and review us.
And a whole bunch more. You can find us on Cash Roller, Blubber. Well, that's your own fucking announcer, Blubber. And a bunch of other fucking sites as well.
Just Google The Drunken Beardsman.
Fuck it. You know what? Yeah, just Google The Drunken Beardsman. Or even better, go to the www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com where you will find all your boozy fucking beardy fucking news. Now, bro, if they want to follow you in particular on the Twit Machine, where can they find you?
They can find me at unofficial_JD. And where can they find you?
They can find me at The Drunkle Dan because some douche nozzle is already Drunkle fucking Dan.
Poor Drunkle Dan.
Poor fucking Drunkle. There's just no fucking love.
That's the same as me.
You know, so
some fucking douche nozzle JD.
Well, duh, it's two fucking letters, of course. I mean, JD I can kind of understand, right? Just fuck it. While we're here, JD I can kind of understand. You know what I mean? Jack Daniels, JD. It's two fucking letters. A lot of people out there have got the same fucking two letters as initials, yeah?
Yeah.
Drunkle fucking Dan, which if you can't find it after next week, it's probably going to be Drunkle fucking Dan, is, I would think, somewhat fucking unique, but apparently fucking not. Go follow The Drunken Beardsman, or at Drunk Beardsman if you want to fucking just bypass the website completely.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it! Why not? So, bro, I'm officially too drunk to taste this fucking chicken. So until next week, you can find us on the same fucking drunk channel at the same bearded time, and remember,
stay bearded and beautiful, people.
Cheers! Me in the beard.
it won't bite. You and my beard are gonna have a really nice time.
My beard,
it's waiting for you. And girl, you know I want you to. So put your hand up in my beard and see what you can find.
You don't have to be scared.
Just touch it, baby, yeah.
All my facial hair.
Just put your hand right there.
There's magic in the air.
Clutch it for reasons you can't understand. You want it so much, so baby, just reach out your hand
and touch, touch me in the bed. Go ahead and touch, touch me in the bed. I want you to hold it, stroke it, put your head inside and say goodbye to all your fears.
Just close your eyes and touch me in the bed.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of R vs. R Media. Theme song is Touch Me in the Beard and is provided with much gratitude by The Beards. Find more of their stuff at www.thebeards.com.au. Remember to go ahead and check out the website at www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com, where you'll find all our booze reviews, rants, and previous episodes of the podcast.
Tingles up and down your spine. Tears well up, emotions flow. Don't be scared, just let it all go. This is the moment dreams come true. So do I want to do.